John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show. I welcome Harry Siegel, writes a column at the New York Daily News. He's the op-ed editor of the Daily Beast. The event is July 17th, 2014, approximately the middle of the afternoon, 3:30 p.m. A man by the name of Eric Garner is standing around with other people on the street corner in Staten Island. And then, Harry, a very good evening to you. This is, of course, the infamous Garner case. What is striking about it in your column is that Mayor de Blasio, who was mayor at the time of the event, the death, the murder, the homicide of Eric Garner, he was mayor then as well, and he's still talking about it. Talking how, Harry? How does this enlighten anything for the mayor to still be rationalizing what happened? Good evening to you.
Hey, good evening, Jeff. So the killing of Eric Garner, which never gets prosecuted rightly or wrongly as a crime in New York after it happens, but this lingers for many years after this guy lived in Staten Island and was known for selling loose cigarettes, evidently broke up a fight, and then gets confronted by many police officers, one of whom, Daniel Pantaleo, is he saying, I didn't do nothing, leave me be, says, no, we're arresting you, puts his arm around his neck, sort of chokes him down to the ground, then has his hand on the back of Garner's head, mushing his face into the sidewalk, saying, I can't breathe, I think 9 times in total. And of course, as we now know, he dies. His death is caught on a video shot by a friend of his and then published by the Daily News. And it's this moment of sort of shock and outrage and revulsion. And then we've learned a bunch more about what happened generally over very large lags in time over the years since. But as the de Blasio administration has fought furiously to keep all this information out of public view, they all but created out of whole cloth a new law that made police officers' personnel records into state secrets, not only for privacy reasons, by reinterpreting a law that had already been on the books. And at every step in this process, right through when he was running for president in 2020, de Blasio seemed like he was trying to slow walk this and keep anyone from finding out anything happened. In part, I think, to salvage what remained of his relationship with police officers who were already very suspicious of him, and more so after this happened, in which he's sort of trying to talk out of both sides of his mouth, is both justifying why the police have to do things and saying, my son Dante, I've had to have the talk with him, like, and as people are protesting, his son, of course, being black and sort of iconically in the ads that got him elected in the first place. However, when stuff like this happens in other cities, de Blasio talks a lot about it. So he so-called the Derek Chauvin verdict an historic moment and sort of a new page in our history when justice has finally been done. But almost literally the same time that the city is, 7 years later, fighting an appeals court to try to stop an inquiry that's supposed to happen this summer from the judicial system looking at Garner's killing and all of these big questions we still, 7 years later, don't know the answers to, about whether any other police officers on the scene tried to give aid, about whether any of them were investigated, let alone disciplined, by the NYPD, given some of the issues we know about now, including phony paperwork that was put in right after Garner's death to try and justify the encounter that led to it for what was an absolute worst, the misdemeanor of selling loose cigarettes, and probably not even that. So when it's another city, de Blasio stands on the side of justice and against bad police. And when it's his city, he says, we've dealt with this because this cop got fired 7 years later. Let's turn the page. And that hypocrisy can be an awful lot.
It is striking, Harry, in your column, as I read through it and then went and looked up the details that I'd forgotten about Eric Garner. It is striking how similar this can be to the Chauvin case. A minor provocation escalating into a man's death in police custody. It is shocking. Did New York City go through the turmoil that Minneapolis has gone through? I don't recall anything of that comparable, but did it happen?
There were big protests here. And to some extent nationally, but really focused here after this happened. I can't fully speak to what's been happening in Minnesota now, because there's very little coverage day to day of what's happening, in a lot of the mainstream press. Let's say the places that maybe you say are to the left, like the Times, and then the places that are emphatically in the right, to the right, there's a drumbeat of this is a rolling riot in urban cities that I find, I don't trust and fully credit that reporting. So it's a little confusing to me. But I do know that there were confrontational protests here after Gardner's killing. Those were more or less controlled and contained in a lot of ways. And the months later is when you had two officers, Lou and Ramos, who were fatally shot here by a guy who came to New York.
Yes.
And said, I want to put wings on pigs. Excuse me. And that there was this fear that we created a toxic environment in which policing was going to be impossible. The numbers from the years that followed suggested that wasn't so, but it was a big concern at the time.
And therefore, for having the mayor talk about this today, what do we need to hear from him that we haven't heard so far? Because this happened on his watch. He was then pilloried for his presentation to the police. But it's 7 years later. There have been several commissioners. There have been a lot of changes in America. There's been the pandemic. What do we need to hear from him that would give us clarity or transparency?
What would give me personally confidence would be for him to accept this judicial inquiry of what happened. So that instead of saying, which he has for years now, this is done, we've had consequences, by which he means an administrative NYPD trial, small t, this isn't a judicial proceeding, that ultimately ended up with Pantaleo losing his job, but only after he'd been paid for 5 years after this happened. And as he's still appealing to try to get rehired and arguing that this violated, you know, his collective bargaining rights. So if he would accept this outside inquiry that doesn't have a predetermined result, to look into what happened and answer specific questions, that would go a long way toward taking him seriously when he talks about this, or when he talks about police killings and or police reform in New York or elsewhere. Refusing to do so and saying everything that was done on his watch was fine, which anyone who's followed this at all knows is simply a lie, makes it hard to credit anything else he says.
Was the mayor followed by this during his presidential campaign? I know it didn't last very long, but he was out in Iowa. Did he have hard questions about this when he was out of town?
And I'm so glad you asked. This came up one of the debates after I wrote a column saying he needs to be asked about this at the debates, and then privately pinged each of the hosts and said, you really need to ask about this. And this was after there'd been some bad policing we don't need to get into here that became a topic of conversation in the town. Pete Buttigieg was the mayor of, and elsewhere, and these issues were back in the news. And he got asked, and he said the same sort of message control nonsense he'd said here. This is at that point, Pantaleo was still on the payroll, but this trial had happened, and it was pretty clear he was going to be fired for a bunch of reasons. That ended up taking months and months. So he said, I promise justice is going to be done. I know the family. I know they're in pain, and I just want them to know that. Like, that was going to be enough. And by the way, the family, Gwen Carr, Eric Garner's mother, then came out and said correctly that the mayor and the NYPD have been putting up obstacles and roadblocks from day one. They're not the people, you know, who've been getting us to some fair and conclusive result here. So this did dog in there. It would have dogged him more, except that the whole campaign was just such an embarrassing belly flop. None of the other candidates really wanted to spend time focusing on him, as he never got past 1%.
Is it?
Now, of course, Andrew Yang.
Yes.
You know, we got to 2%. Maybe able to reverse that play and be our next mayor.
The opinion of Mayor de Blasio now, today, has he ever expressed remorse about what happened, about the way the events were handled? We've got about a minute. Has he ever said, I'm sorry, I made a mistake?
He has not expressed remorse for his handling of subsequent events and what the city did after this first happened. To the contrary, he's consistently blamed the Justice Department for taking a very long time before deciding not to bring charges, which is and said that he couldn't do anything, even administrative proceedings within the NYPD, until after the feds had acted, which, as I and other people have written, was just a naked deceit and a way to pass the buck rather than take any responsibility. Could have, and to some extent still could, if he wanted to be a more honest and decent as he gets to the end of his time in office.
Harry Siegel of the New York Daily News. Eric Garner, September 15th, 1970, July 17th, 2014. I'm John Batchelor.